Joining us now on the line is Ty Votaw, the VP of Communications and International Affairs for the PGA Tour. Ty, good morning to you. Thanks for spending a couple minutes with us today.
Good morning to you folks.
Well, we obviously want to talk to you about drug testing primarily on the PGA Tour. We also want to get your thoughts on the new cut rule. But first things first, the PGA Tour had some educational seminars earlier this week out in San Diego before the players at the Buick Invitational started playing their rounds of golf. And basically, Commissioner Tim Fincham wanted to update everybody on the policies that the Tour will be implementing this summer in drug testing. Give us an idea for what was discussed in these meetings.
Well, we had our outside advisors come in, and we had two different sessions, two mandatory sessions, one for half the field in the morning, the other for half the field in the afternoon. And they went on for about an hour and 15, 20 minutes, and it was our first opportunity to introduce to the entire membership our outside experts who are going to do the testing, who are going to administer the therapeutic use exemptions, and talk to the people who set up the overall policy with our internal folks. And it was a lot of good information was conveyed, a lot of very good questions. The attention to detail by the players with their questions was very impressive. And there were a lot of questions that were asked that we still have a lot of work to do. This is why we did it. We set the program up to not start until July 1st, so we had a good 7 months of education for the players. We handed out our brochure, our overall policy documents in December, and we're holding weekly meetings on an individual basis between now and July 1st to educate the players on all aspects of the policy.
Ty, are these guys going to be able to like submit like an over-the-counter type thing to the PGA Tour and have them come back and say this is okay, or is it going to be up to them to determine whatever they're putting in their body is going to be compliant with the policies?
Well, it's twofold. One, it's that certainly any medication that someone is on, if it is a substance that's part of a prohibited substance list, we would want them to go through the process of finding out whether the reasons they're on that medication would qualify them for a therapeutic use exception. We also have a 24-hour hotline and these weekly meetings where the other medications, if they're over the counter, make sure that they don't include ingredients that are also prohibited on the substance on the prohibited substance list. And then the other thing that we are going to be working very closely with all of our players on is making sure that something accidental doesn't happen. If they're taking supplements or protein drinks or those types of things, and there may be an inadvertent tainting in the manufacturing process by the makers of those products, there could be there really needs to be some oversight with respect to the players and attention to detail there as to making sure that they know exactly what's going on in their bodies and to ensure that there aren't any accidental positive tests.
Ty Votaw, the VP of Communications and International Affairs for the PGA Tour, joining us here on the line. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. The PGA Tour set up two educational meetings at the Buick Invitational this past week. More to come in the coming weeks, and some of the substances that are banned per the anti-doping program manual are steroids and human growth hormone, as well as street drugs like marijuana and cocaine. And Ty, the anti-doping policy treats positive tests for some of these performance enhancing drugs differently than the recreational drugs. Give us an idea for what exactly that entails.
Well, I'm not sure that it's set in stone that they're different. It's just that gives the policy gives the commissioner some flexibility with respect to recreational or substances of abuse to handle that differently. If these are judgment calls, if these are addiction calls that need to be made, as opposed to the performance-enhancing drugs that are out there. The penalties may ultimately end up being the same, but we may also have the flexibility to, as part of the process with respect to recreational or street drugs or drugs of abuse, to add an element of rehabilitation or other penalties to that may be slightly different than the performance-enhancing drugs.
Ty, what are the penalties? If a player does test positive for these drugs, what are the penalties that he can incur?
For the first penalty, it's up to 1 year suspension and fines and forfeiture of prize money. For the second violation, it's up to 5 years, and a third violation, permanent suspension or permanent suspension of eligibility.
Ty, I wanted to ask you, not to speculate too much because nobody really knows what's going on, but do you get the sense that there might be a problem out there? And I'm not talking about the higher echelon guys. I'm talking about, you know, guys a little bit down on the money list that specifically with like an HGH type thing with injury recovery being, you know, injuries happen in golf, you know, with the back and elbows and everything else. Do you think there is a problem out there at this stage, or are we not going to know until we really get into this?
Well, I think that this is a misconception that people have had up to the point in time that July 1st rolls around, where the program actually comes into play. We've not had a rule that cites these prohibited substances as a violation of our rules, and we have a high level of confidence, and the culture of our sport is such that our players, when they are aware of the rule, live by the rule. Our sport is rich with history of players calling penalties on themselves. It's part of the culture of the sport. And we have a high level of confidence that now that the rule will come into effect, that there will be an adherence to the rule by the players. So up to now, if there has been human growth hormone or other types of things, it hasn't been violative of the rule because there hasn't been one. Now that there is one, we think that we have a high level of confidence that there won't be an actual violation that's used in contravention of the rule. We're concerned that there may be, you know, inadvertent violations because of the accidental ways in which some of these substances can get into your body. But no, we don't think that there's a problem in golf, but. That's not to say that we're naive to say that there may not have been some, because there may not have been some substances being used by players because there hasn't been a rule in violation or that prohibits that. But having said all of those things, we don't think this is a problem in our sport. But we feel that in light of what is happening in other sports and what the public's perception is, that if you don't test in a particular sport, the perception is that the sport may not be clean. We felt this was the way we had to go. That plus the fact that there are other tours around the world, the European Tour, that was moving down the track of testing, and our players play on the European Tour as well. And if that was the case, we wanted to make sure that there was a comprehensive and collective rule across all of the golf organizations around the world. And we were able to get that done through the World Golf Foundation this past spring and summer. And now going forward, we have a unified policy where everybody associated in golf is moving in the same direction.
You're listening to Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, right here on ESPN Radio 760. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. And Ty Votaw is our guest. He's the VP of Communications and International Affairs for the PGA Tour. And Ty, the reaction from the players has definitely been mixed. Phil Mickelson said, quote, "We're a major sport, a big-time sport, and we play for a lot of money. Therefore, it's important that we have rules in place to cover it," end quote. Meanwhile, Paul Guido said that it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, end quote. What does this kind of mirror what the reaction has been, kind of running the gamut? And then also, how is the legal minutia or the verbiage for the policy with the PGA Tour, how is that different from like the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA, where, you know, golfers are obviously independent contractors and they don't work for an employer necessarily, where players in football, you know, work for a certain team?
Well, I'll get to the your first question was the player reaction. I think while there may be differences of opinion across the, I think everybody understands that it's unfortunate that we have to go this way, but because we don't think that there's a problem. But I think Phil is right in saying that because of what's happening in other sports and the fact that the PGA Tour is a significant sport, there's a lot of money involved, and there's the perception of the public is such that if you don't test, you may have issues that you're not addressing. Paul Goidos saying it's stupid. We have been consistent that this wasn't something that we feel that we were proactive about in terms of feeling a need to get it done. This was something that we felt, again, the public perception of other sports was driving a lot of this, and that, plus the other tours around the world being forced to do it because they're testing in countries where it's required to be tested. We don't disagree that with Paul that it's unfortunate. It's just something that it's a reality we have to live with. In terms of the other sports, NFL, baseball, and others, you're right. There are collective bargaining agreements that dictate what the processes are with respect to testing. You know, how many times they test. There's been an enormous amount of criticism in all corners of other sports relative to how effective their program is. The NFL, for example, doesn't test on game days. Major League Baseball has come under scrutiny with respect to giving teams notice as to when the testers are going to be coming on site to test their players. Those are all things that we are working through in our plan to ensure that we have a credible program that's transparent, that people understand what's going on and how the process is working. And we hope that because of that, the public's acceptance of the results of our testing will be better than those in other sports.
Ty Votaw is the VP of Communications and International Affairs for the PGA Tour. He's kind enough to join us this morning on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. And Ty, before we let you go, just one more thing for you, and it's kind of a different note, this new cut rule on the PGA Tour. We've seen it implemented a second time this week at the Buick in 4 weeks of the season, actually 3 weeks where it could have been implemented with full field events. 85 players made the financial cut at plus one, but only 66 players playing the weekend at even par or better. There's been a lot of outcry from many players on this as well, including John Daly. And as far as the PGA Tour is concerned, are you reviewing this rule at all this year? Is there any chance that you might make a change in policy, or is this pretty much what we're going to see from here on out?
Well, as Mark Twain once said, predictions are dangerous things, especially predictions about the future. I think that this is a rule there was a lot of dialogue amongst the Player Advisory Council, our PAC, over the years, and it was a policy that was driven in large part by the players. Yes, there is an issue in this case, the 15 players over 70 in ties that didn't make the cut, the play cut on the weekend, but for the 66 players who made that cut, playing the pace of play, the ability to finish on the air on Saturday, because of the pace of play, especially when you have with respect to a San Diego, a 3 o'clock local finish on Saturday and Sunday. All of those things facilitate a better experience from a competitive standpoint, from a presentation of the product on television. And that's what was driving a lot of the discussions amongst the PAC over the several years. And I think that's something that people who experienced the 85 player or the 88 player, the case of Disney last year, 89 players who made the cut, experienced the waiting on the tees when they're making the turn and the 45 minutes and three groups on a tee and television not being able to finish having the leaders finish on television. All of those things played a part in the process. And yes, because of the actual implementation and execution of the new rule, there's been a lot of discussion in the early parts of this week or of this year that as to how we can make it better. And I think that those dialogues will continue. And yes, 2 out of 4 weeks have taken place. We've averaged about 11 of those situations over the course of a year. We've had about a third between 25 and 33% of our events over the course of a year experienced that problem in the past. Here you've got 2 out of 4. We'll see how it plays out over the course of the year.
All right. He is Ty Votaw, VP of Communications and International Affairs for the PGA Tour. Ty, thank you so much for the time, and we look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Anytime. Always good to be with you.
Thanks, Ty.
There he is, Ty Votaw, VP of Communications and International Affairs for the PGA Tour, joining us here on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.